to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's begin with verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we desire to continue to worship you today. Thank you that our focus, our consideration has been on Jesus. We praise you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for your faithful work in our lives. And we've been reminded in the last few weeks that you are working all the time to move us to trust you, and how we truly are grateful. Help us now as we look at this truth before us today. It's a familiar passage. And yet, God, take it by your Spirit into our hearts and help us to see ourselves and to respond to you in obedience and humility. We praise you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your constant work in our lives. And God, we are so grateful for your great power toward us and for us, and your great grace bestowed upon us through Jesus. It's in his name we pray now. Amen. Amen. In the valley of Elah, every eye in two armies was fixed on this single, solitary figure of a young man who emerged from the ranks of Israel and began to walk down the slope into that valley. The soldiers on either side were shocked and they were surprised. Is it possible? Is it true? Will this young man actually fight the giant? And as they watched, they lost sight of him because he had bent down to arm himself with 5 smooth stones. And by this time, Goliath was up and he was moving toward David. And as the young man from Israel moved quickly toward the giant did the same with words of cursing and contempt. And as the two armies watched, They couldn't believe their eyes. It was David against Goliath. The Philistine challenge was accepted, and now two armies and two nations would be affected by this battle. How could David possibly defeat Goliath? Let me bring this question a little closer home this morning. How can we defeat the giants in our lives? We face them. They're moving about in our lives. They intimidate us. They bother us. They hinder us in our walk with the Lord. It may be the giant of a problem with a person, a family member, another Christian. It may be the giant of a sickness or a health problem or a serious disease. It may be the giant of our job or no job or money problems. It may be the giant of a tragedy or a disaster or a crushing circumstance of life that has left us burdened with grief or worry or guilt. It may be the giant of an addiction or a habit or a sin that dominates our life. You see, folks, we are no different than David. We are now, or we will be, facing the giant. And the question for us, like David, is this: how will we defeat the giant? The big answer is we must trust God. See, I repeat that theme that we've looked at in the last several weeks. God is always working to move us to trust Him. And so the big answer is we must trust God. So then the question becomes, how do we trust God when we're facing the giant? This passage that's before us today is just packed with answers. And so I want you to join with me now as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. First of all, to trust God when we face our giants, we must be prepared. Look at verse 40, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. And then he, that's David, took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. See, folks, there's an old Boy Scout motto that says, always be what? Prepared. Always be prepared. The same can be said for the battles, the spiritual battles in our lives. Always be prepared. When David walked down that slope toward Goliath, he was ready for this battle, and he was ready both physically and spiritually for this battle. Now, physically, he had his weapons. He was confident in his ability. And folks, these were not the normal weapons of combat. These were not the weapons of King Saul. Saul had offered him weapons, but David had refused. But they were simple. They were a sling and stones. But through years of practice and training, they were deadly in the hands of this young man. He had prepared himself on the hills of Bethlehem, caring for his father's sheep. And he had met a bear there. He had met a lion there. And he was victorious over these animals. And so he was ready for Goliath, and he would use what God had given him as he now faced this giant. Spiritually, he was also ready. He knew that behind those simple weapons that he carried was God Himself. Look at David's words in verse 37. He says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You see, his confidence and his trust was not in his weapons, but it was in his God. And that truth would arm him for the enemy. And regardless of the size or the weapons or the intimidation or the cursing or the tactics of Goliath, David was ready. Question is, Are you ready for your giant? He will come. You will face your giant. Maybe in your family. Maybe in your church. Maybe in your health. Maybe in your job. Maybe even in your own mind. But I guarantee this, as I stand before you this morning, there will be a giant who seeks to destroy you and your walk with the Lord. Now, many Christians are not prepared. Many Christians are not ready. They have refused to grow. They have refused to train. They've refused to exercise and to use those weapons that God gives. And when the giant comes into their lives, folks, there is no fight. It's a wipeout. There is spiritual defeat and spiritual failure. Folks, there are families not here today because they were not prepared for the giant. There are individuals who were not here today because they are not prepared for the giant. And it was not that they did not have the opportunity for preparation, but they chose not to be prepared and not to be equipped and not to be ready for the battle. You see, they weren't ready for the giant that came into their lives. I want to ask you some simple questions that will help evaluate your preparation for spiritual battles and your trust in the Lord. They're simple questions. First of all, do you read and meditate and feed on the Word of God every day? See, you can answer that. Do you spend time daily in prayer with God? Not just once, not just twice, communicating with God in prayer. Do you come to church faithfully when the church meets together for instruction and fellowship? Do you have close fellowship with other believers who desire to grow and to become like Jesus Christ? Do you quickly confess and turn away from the sin that would disrupt your fellowship with the Lord and with other believers? Folks, it's these simple, elementary disciplines that are so vital in our lives, and if they're missing in your Christian life, then you're not prepared for the spiritual battles that you will face. You see, if we are to trust God in facing our giants, we must be prepared for the battle. There's a second way to trust God when we face our giants. Let's look at the passage, because when the giant comes, number two, we acknowledge that the battle is the Lord's. Look at verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Now picture in your minds, if you will, just for a moment, the unfolding events of this battle before us. This is not a battle between armies. It could have been, but this is a battle between two men. David and Goliath are now moving toward one another. David is armed with a slingshot and a staff, the weapons of a shepherd. And Goliath, all 9 feet tall of him, is armed with 200 pounds of armor and equipment. His armor weighs more than David. And they're drawing near. And Goliath begins to challenge and curse David. Look at verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." You see, it's obvious that Goliath is confident in his own abilities and strength, and folks, giants always are. But notice carefully, the words of David throughout this whole event, because he makes several statements that indicate his complete trust and his complete confidence in the Lord. Look at verse 26. David says, "Who is this Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?" Verse 36, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Verse 45, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you have defied." Verse 46, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." And verse 47, "The battle is the Lord's." Do you see it? Over and over again, David's trust and confidence is not in military might. It's not in King Saul. It's not in his brothers. It's not in his own ability. But over and over, we hear the truth that his confidence is in the Lord. And folks, here then is the key. The battle is the Lord's, and we must trust him to fight it and win it. So then we step back and we ask ourselves, how do we let God fight the battle? The simple answer is this: we believe God and we do what God says. We believe him and we do what he says. And folks, that's faith. That's trust. David was prepared, but the key to victory was his trust in the Lord. The Apostle Paul said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Think about for a moment the giants in your life. Are you trying to fight your own battle? Are you trying to fight it your way? Are you depending and trusting on others to fight it for you? Are you depending on your own judgment and wisdom? If you are, you can't win, but God can. And God is saying to us in this scripture, trust me, obey me, do it my way, follow my word, because the battle is mine. If we are to trust God when we face the giants in our lives, we must acknowledge that the battle is the Lord's. There's a third way that we can trust God when we face our giants. We must have the right purpose. Look at verse 46. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now, folks, think about this with me this morning, because there are lots of good and noble reasons to fight the giants in our lives. I mean, it is a good thing for our peace of mind to fight the giant of fear or anxiety in our lives. It is a good thing for you and for others to defeat the giant of anger and bitterness. It is a good thing for everyone to calmly and quietly face tragedy and grief. There are lots of good reasons for David to defeat this giant named Goliath. There was personal survival. There was victory over the Philistines. There was honor for the nation of Israel and for King Saul. But by far, above all things, the most important reason is given by David himself in verse 46 when he says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, David did not fight Goliath for the honor of success or for the king's daughter or for financial benefits, and all of those things are mentioned in this passage. But David fought Goliath for the glory and the honor of God. And his motive was pure and simple. I do this for God. For God. Let me tell you why you must defeat the giants in your life. Defeat the giant of fear for the Lord Jesus Christ. Defeat the giant of pride for the sake of the Lord. Defeat the giant of worry for God's sake. Defeat the giant of selfishness for the cause of the Lord. The defeat of any giant that hinders your walk with the Lord will be beneficial to you and your family and your church and others. But folks, here's why we fight. Those things are good things, but here's why we fight. It's for the glory and the honor of our God. And we often lose spiritual battles because our sights are not high enough. We fight giants for our wife. We fight giants for our husband or our kids or our church or our friends. And there's nothing wrong with these things. But like David, we must fight the giants in our lives so that all the earth may know that there is a God. And that God is real. And we know Him. And we love Him. And we desire Him. See, this is why we fight the giants in our lives. Do you think that the Philistines knew at the end of the day that there was a God in Israel? Yes. Yes. At the end of that day, they knew there was surely and truly a God in Israel. Let the whole world know that there is a God in your life, and by Him you kill the giants in your life. Now, how can we know that we have this right purpose? Well, again, let me ask some questions this morning. First of all, why are you here today? Is it to please your wife? Or please your husband? Or your kids? Or your friends? Or is it for the Lord? What do you expect from worship? Is it to feel good when you leave? Or is it to please God? Why do you serve in music or Sunday school or Truth Trackers, or the list could go on and on? Why do you serve? Is it to make a name for yourself, or to draw attention to yourself, or to build up your church? Or is it to bring glory to our sovereign, gracious, holy God? You see, brothers and sisters, we must have a purpose in every part of our relationship with the Lord, and that purpose is to know Him and to glorify Him. Is this your purpose? Is this your goal in life? If we are to trust God in our fight against the giants, then we must have the right purpose. And then finally, look at verse 48. There's a fourth way that we can trust God when we face our giants. We must fight. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. Now, we've already touched on this, but it's worth saying again, and it's so important in our lives. We can put this aside, or we can neglect this. David trusted in the Lord, and he depended on the Lord completely and entirely. But David did not just sit back and say, "Okay, God, do it." David fought the battle. Verse 48, David ran to meet the Philistine. Verse 49, David put his hand into the bag and took out a stone. Verse 49, David slung that stone and hit Goliath between the eyes. Verse 50, David took the sword of Goliath and killed him. Folks, there is no question that the Lord fought for David, but there is also no doubt that David did the fighting. And there is a truth here, a simple truth that must not be overlooked in our lives as Christians, in our Christian walk, in our spiritual growth, in the battles that we face with the giants that come into our lives. There is a cooperation that must exist between God and the believer. You see, the battle is the Lord's, but you face the giant. The battle is the Lord's, but you must throw the stone. The battle is the Lord's, but you must slay the giant. And what does that mean in practical terms? It means that you must pick up your Bible and read it and study it and meditate on it and memorize it. You must do this. This is how you fight. It means you must make a choice to come together when the church meets. It means that you must decide to say no to temptation when it comes. It means that you must abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul. It means that you must choose each and every day whether you will go your own way or God's way. And folks, this is exactly the battle that we face. This is described in the New Testament over and over again. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 10. Notice how the Apostle Paul describes this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10. Paul says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Do you see that? Paul labored and Paul worked, and he labored more than anyone else, but he acknowledged, he proclaimed that it was the grace of God that worked in him. In other words, Paul was laboring and it was God who was laboring for him and with him and through him. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, familiar passage. Philippians chapter 2, look at verses 12 and 13. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Do you see that? Paul says, work out your own salvation, but then he says, for it's God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You see, there's this companion work that takes place. We are fighting the giants, but it's God who is fighting with us and for us and through us. And therefore, in one hand, we could say we must fight the giants. And on the other hand, we can say God fights the giants. And then turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look at verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy here, he says this. He says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You see, brothers and sisters, we must fight. We must fight the giants. And yet the truth is, it's God who is fighting for us. with us as we face those giants. When all is said and done, you must stand and fight. And when you stand and fight, God fights for you. David did, and David defeated the giant. Think about this just for a moment. David's life was changed forever. In just a few minutes in the Valley of Elah, his life would never, ever be the same. David trusted God when he faced that giant. We must also trust God when we face our giants. Now, how do we do it? We must be prepared. We must acknowledge that the battle is the Lord's. We must have the right purpose, and we must fight. Brothers and sisters, the giant is coming in your life. Perhaps you face him right now. What will you do? How will you face your giant? Let's bow our heads. Father, there are so many ways that you share the same truth in the Scriptures. We desperately need you. Father, help us as we face the giants in our lives. God, we thank you this morning that you are always working to move us to trust you. You are always working, Father, to move us away from a trust in ourselves to a dependence and faith and trust in you. Father, I thank you for that. For Father, I realize that you are greatly glorified when we trust you. Help us to be people of faith. Help us to fight the giants in our lives, and help us to look to you to do that. Dear Father, if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray for them. And Father, I pray that you, by your grace, would give them understanding and light this day for salvation. Help us as your people to love you and to look to you through Jesus in every part of life. To you be glory and praise. We ask now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.